And let's have a word of prayer as we start the message this morning. Let's pray. Father, we thank you that we're able to be together and to hear from your word. I pray that you would lead and guide us today. May we honor and glorify you in the response to your word, whatever you're trying to teach us. We thank you so much, Lord, that we can be together in worship together. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. I want to say thank you to Jonathan, wherever you are, somewhere out there, for preaching last week. It was good to hear a message on thankfulness, a good challenge to focus our thanksgiving as a response to the Lord, what the Lord's done in our lives, and to show that attitude of thanksgiving practically by serving and giving ourselves to others. So I appreciated that reminder and that message from Jonathan last week. I hope you had a great Thanksgiving as well. I hope it was a good week for you. We come back today, as you can see on the screen, to our church series of church life, getting us back to really the basics of God's call on our lives as members of a local church, the responsibilities that we have, and really what church life should be like. So we're going to continue that journey today and start by looking at a passage probably many of you have memorized, but that's all right. It's a passage we need to be reminded of. So go to Matthew chapter 28, if you would. Matthew chapter 28, and I want to read verses 19 through 20 if you're using a Pew Bible. It's on page 784. We're actually not going to focus the message on this passage, but I want to start with this. Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It says this: "Go, therefore, and make disciples of all nations." Jesus, of course, speaking. Look at verse 18. Jesus came to them, that's the disciples, said to them, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me." And then he goes and he gives this commission: "Go, therefore, make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. And behold, I am with you always to the end of the age." Arguably, one of the most familiar passages in all of the New Testament is Matthew 28, verses 19 through 20. It's one that you've heard a lot, actually, over the past few months. You know the story, right? Jesus is at the end of his earthly ministry. He's about to ascend back to be with the Father. He had accomplished the mission that he had come for, so which means he's lived a perfect life. He had obeyed the law perfectly. He died as a perfect sacrifice. He was buried. He rose again, and now he's ready to go back up to the Father. And he commissions his disciples that you see there in verses 19 and 20, a commission that's clearly not intended only for them, those 11 disciples who are standing there, but for all who would eventually become his disciples. That's why he says to them in verse 20, "I'm with you always, even to the end of the age." You needed to be encouraged that Jesus would be with you to the end of the age, meaning today he's still with his disciples who are going out there with the Great Commission, and it would take to the end of the age to fulfill this task. And so here we are, 2,000 years later, product of other believers, other disciples of Jesus Christ fulfilling this commission. That's why you're here, because people listened to Jesus and followed through with what he said. Our mission as a church is pretty straightforward. It's actually really simple. We are called to make disciples. You see that in verse number 19. "Go, therefore, and make disciples." That's why we're still here. That's why you and I are still here on this earth, to make disciples. I mean, if you think about all the things that we do as a church, we would be a lot better at it if we weren't sinners still, right? If we were glorified. I mean, our worship would be a lot better if our hearts weren't divided, right? And sin wasn't a part of our lives anymore. We would do much better at that. We wouldn't have to grow in holiness because we'd be glorified. The main reason for our existence is to bring glory to God, and we would do a lot better at that if we weren't here still in the flesh. But we are here, and we're doing things imperfectly. Why doesn't God just take us home? Why? Why doesn't he just take the church home? Well, partly because of his sovereign plan and sovereign timing, at one point he will, but because we also have a mandate, because we have this commission. We have a mission that God has chosen in his sovereign plan for us to accomplish. He's given us a task, and that task is summarized in this passage in Matthew chapter 28, verses 19 through 20. Luke offers us a little bit more of what we need to be sharing with others, you might say, to help us understand what this commission is. In Luke chapter 24, verses 46 through 48, another commission of Jesus says, "Thus it is written that the Christ should suffer and on the third day rise from the dead." And here it is. Here's the message: that repentance for the forgiveness of sins should be proclaimed in his name to all nations, every single tribe, tongue, and people, you could say, beginning from Jerusalem. You are witnesses of these things. So we make disciples by testifying, by witnessing to and proclaiming repentance in his name. Witnessing to the death, burial, and resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. Sharing that forgiveness can be found in the name of Christ through repentance and faith. So we cannot talk about church life or do a sermon series on church life and not talk about the mission that God has left for us as a church, both corporately and individually. And we know this, right? Like, I'm not sharing anything new to you. You know that this is our call. Yeah, God has gifted some individuals in a church that are just maybe more gifted in evangelism, and we might get jealous of that, but that doesn't leave us off the hook, right, to what God has called us to do in this great commission, because disciples of Jesus make disciples of Jesus. That's how God designed it. And yet it's not hard to point out that on a whole, American Christians struggle to fulfill the Great Commission. That's not hard. It doesn't take rocket science to figure that out. A few years ago, Lifeway did a major survey of professing evangelical Christians, specifically regarding their habits and practice of evangelism. It's an interesting study, way more data than I really want to talk about. But let me show you three biggest takeaways that one blogger mentioned that I thought were pretty good. In this study, they found this, that 73% of Christians believed it was their responsibility to share their faith. I think we'd all kind of agree with that. Yet only 52% of them had actually shared their faith at least once with someone in the last year. And they found that millennials were the only age group where the percentage of those evangelizing was increasing at that time. Kind of interesting observations. I wonder what the percentages would look like for us if we did like a survey. Maybe we should have that in the ministry survey and find out what the percentages would be here. I know for myself it's been quite a while that I've individually led someone to the Lord. What about you? And of course, talking about witnessing is like talking about prayer. We're all feeling a little guilty. We all do. It's one of those things that even if we're involved in it, we know we probably should do more. And if we're not involved in sharing the gospel, we definitely know that we should be doing it to begin with. So I don't want to just sit here and lay guilt on us. But when I hear stats like this and think about, the situation of our church and the American church, my tendency is to ask why questions. Why is this the case? Why are we struggling to share the gospel? And it's not an easy answer. It could be, some of us, we're embattled and we're struggling with sin. And so, think about it. You're not going to share the gospel if you're struggling with sin, right? Because your heart's divided. You're not really worshiping the Lord. Or maybe we're distracted. Maybe there's things that we're involved in. Most of the time, we'd all say at some point, every single one of us, that we're afraid of others. Even if we're not really willing to admit it, we don't want to disrupt relationships. It could be a number of things, probably too many to count. So what I want to do this morning is just kind of help us move forward a little bit. A little reminder of who we are. I just want to remind us who we are today. You're not going to come away from this like I never thought about this. But just come back to the basics of who each of us are in Christ, so that we can fulfill what God has called us to do. It's kind of a basics message. Most successful companies, I think, least this is what people say, whoever they are, usually have their values and identity ingrained in their employees, right? That's why we like Chick-fil-A. You know, I've been to Chick-fil-A's in California, Kentucky, Oklahoma, Florida. Where were we last weekend? Virginia. It's always the same experience. I'm always told that it's their pleasure to serve me. Every single time. But it's ingrained in who they are. Each worker knows what's expected of them. They know who they are and they know what their role is and how to accomplish that task, and they know where they fit. And for us, maybe that's kind of a reminder we need today. Just a basic reminder. So that's what we're going to do today. Be reminded of who we are so that we don't forget to accomplish the task that God's left for us. So to do that, I want us to go to a different passage. And for some of you, you've looked at these passages already in growth groups, but I want to go through them. 2 Corinthians chapter 5. So go to 2 Corinthians chapter 5 this morning. It is going to be a brief message today. I realize we're still, some of us have too much turkey in us, and it is warm in here. But give me a few minutes as we look at 2 Corinthians chapter 5, verses 18 through 20. That's on page 908 if you're using a Pew Bible, page 908. 2 Corinthians chapter 5, look at verse 18. All of this, he says, all this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. This is verse 18 of chapter 5. And gave us the ministry of reconciliation. That is, in Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. Therefore, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ, God making his appeal through us. We implore you, on behalf of Christ, be reconciled to God. Let's take it to verse 21. For our sake, he made him to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. Now, I'm not going to fully exegete this passage and take every single phrase and look at it here. There's way too much to do that. I would recommend you take some time and just read through 2 Corinthians 5, see how what he's saying, especially in verses 11 through 21, fit and what's going on. There's a lot of just deep truths in this passage. But look at verse 20. I just want to hone in on that one little phrase. Therefore, we are, verse 20, ambassadors for Christ. Now, in the context of the book of 2 Corinthians, Paul's talking about him and his also accompanied missionaries who were with him, those that were ministering to Corinthians, because the Corinthians at this time are being duped by some charlatan preachers and ministers, and so Paul's defending his ministry with these companions as well, and he makes it clear that, you know what, they say I'm a weak minister, but I'm weak simply because I just let the glory of God be proclaimed in the gospel. I preach the gospel. I stick to that. His situation is pretty simple. I don't peddle the word of God. Look at verse 11. Knowing the fear of the Lord, here's what I do. I just persuade others. That's what I do. That's what I'm called to do. I go out there, I find, and I persuade others about the word of God. I don't try to do this for myself. I don't get any glory in this. I'm driven, he says, by the fear of the Lord, knowing the fear of the Lord. And I focus on persuading others. And so then when he gets to verse 20, he makes it clear. This is who we are. This is our role. For Paul and his companions, verse 20, we are ambassadors for Christ. And I believe what Paul says of himself by the context of even what's going on in Corinthians and what he says in verse 20 and even in verse 21 and verses 18 and following, that what he says of him and his companions is true of all who are believers in the Lord Jesus Christ, every follower of the Lord Jesus Christ. Anyone who has experienced the grace of God in your lives and been redeemed, you are an ambassador for the Lord. In a sense, that's who you are. Back to the basics. You want to know your role? You're an ambassador. You're an ambassador. Each one of you that's been forgiven of your sins and have listened to the message of the gospel and believed in the Lord Jesus Christ, at that moment, you were transferred. You had a new kingdom that you're part of now. You have been transferred with a new citizenship, and part of that means you now are an ambassador for the Lord Jesus Christ. You are an ambassador. Now, I'm not going to exegete the text this morning. I just want to look at three implications of that reality. If it's true that you and I are an ambassador, well, let's play that out a little bit. Number one, it means this. This is like basic stuff. You're not home. If we are ambassadors, that means that we are not home. You know what an ambassador is, right? So you're a foreigner. You're a representative, as it were, of one country to another, living in that foreign country. An ambassador, by the Oxford definition, is an accredited diplomat. You're accredited, how about that? A diplomat sent by a country as its official representative to a foreign country. So if today you go to the northwest section of Washington, D.C., and you find yourself in Massachusetts Avenue, you know what you're going to find? Ambassador after ambassador after ambassador of foreign diplomats. That's where all the ambassador row is in Washington, D.C. All these people who are not in their country. They're in our country. This is not their home. So if we're ambassadors, I mean, remember this. This is kind of hard to remember. This is not your home. You are not home. We are not home. We are foreigners. Now, more than any other writer in the New Testament, Peter highlights that. I'll just highlight it for you real quick. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1. Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who are elect, what? Exiles. 1 Peter chapter 1, verse 17. If you call on him as Father who judges impartially according to each one's deeds, conduct yourselves with fear throughout the time of your exile. This is really hard to remember. I'm just telling you, this is really hard to remember. This is not my home. This is my exile. He sums it up as an exile. 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 11. Beloved, I urge you as sojourners and exiles to abstain from the passions of the flesh which wage against your soul. Again, the emphasis being, this is not our home. We are sojourners. We are exiles. We are ambassadors. The world is not our home. We're just passing through. You know this truth, but we need to be reminded of it. Philippians chapter 3, verse 20. Our citizenship is in heaven, and from it we await a Savior, the Lord Jesus Christ. Hebrews chapter 13, verse 14. For here we have not a lasting city, but we seek the city that is to come. I think, for me, this message is really born out of my own life, okay? I think one of the reasons I struggle, and probably one of the reasons you struggle to fulfill the Great Commission, is we forget who we really are, that we're ambassadors, that this world really isn't our home. We're foreigners here. I lose zeal because I mean, it's really comfortable here, isn't it? Because it feels too much like home. Forgetting that we're ambassadors, passing for a brief time, maybe 80, 90 years until we get to our true home with the Lord. And when we get comfortable, we don't want to disrupt that comfort by doing something like sharing the gospel, right? Because that can be uncomfortable. So we're ambassadors, verse 20. Therefore, we're not home. Secondly, just to play this out, verse 20, therefore we are ambassadors for Christ, which means we're not home. Secondly, it means also that we represent our true home in this foreign land. We represent our true home in this foreign land. As ambassadors of Jesus Christ, we're not only in a foreign land, but we represent our king, you could say. We are representatives of our king in this land that we're at. We represent him. Now, evangelism, one of the things I've found in my old age in ministry is that, you know, fads come and go all the time. like every aspect of church life has fads, including evangelism. There's different evangelism fads. You know, there was evangelism explosion before my time. But in my time, what was really big was lifestyle evangelism. I don't know if you ever heard that. There's this type of evangelism, that type of evangelism, et cetera, et cetera. Tent revivals and whatever. And like most fads, you know, they're not hard to pick apart. But there's some nugget of truth there. And what I do appreciate about lifestyle evangelism is they did get this part right, that we represent our king by how we live. That our lifestyle should represent the king. That our lifestyle does matter. Because remember what Jesus said in Matthew chapter 5, verse 14, "You are the light of the world. A city set on a hill cannot be hidden. Those who follow Christ are that light. They are the city that points others to the Lord Jesus Christ because we represent our true home." So how you live in this world as an ambassador matters because the way in which you live shows others that we live for something greater than what we can see before us. The value of our homeland should determine the values of how we live, right? Isn't that right? So things like self-sacrifice, service to others, fruit of the Spirit, love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, self-control, are values of our real home that are not upheld in the world we live in. Something like humility. I mean, for the New Testament times, you know what a Roman thought of when they thought of humility? They thought it was a vice. And yet it's upheld by the Lord. And so as an ambassador, you represent the king. Think about that. A lot of us, we try to think, well, I don't watch this, I don't do that. That's, you know where it's going to have most of the impact on those who don't know the Lord Jesus Christ as an ambassador? You live in such a way where it's full of love and self-sacrifice and joy and peace and forgiveness, things that just don't make sense to a world that's dog-eat-dog and fights for itself. We represent our king as ambassadors. So how you live in this world matters. As Paul describes in Colossians 1:13, we've been transferred from the domain of darkness. You live in the domain of darkness as a representative of the light. Evangelism, don't miss me. Don't misunderstand what I'm saying. Evangelism is more than a lifestyle. Okay, you have to understand. The word evangelism, four Greek words. Here's your Greek lesson today. Four Greek words for evangelism. Guess what they all mean. Here you go. To speak the good news, tell the good news, herald the good news, or witness. So it has to be with your witness. You have to talk if you're evangelizing. But don't miss it. If you're ambassador, you are representing as well by your life. One more implication for this morning. So if we're ambassadors, this is not our home. Got to remember that. I have to come back to that weekly because I forget. Secondly, as ambassadors, we represent the king. We represent our home. And thirdly, as ambassadors, we bear the message of our king. We bear the message of our king. You want to know what a prime minister thinks? You go talk to the ambassador because the ambassador speaks for the king. The ambassador or the prime minister will talk to that king and tell him this is what you need to say. You bear the message of that king. It does not Ambassador does not come to a country with their own message, right? They don't come with their own agenda. They come with the agenda of the one from whom they've sent. And so it is with us. As ambassadors of Christ, we have a message that we've been commissioned with to proclaim in this foreign land that we're in. And so we got to be talking about it. We got to be proclaiming it. And that what's really neat is that message is wrapped up all in the verses around verse number 20, look at verse 18. All this is from God, who through Christ reconciled us to himself. It's a message of reconciliation. And he gave this ministry of reconciliation. God was reconciling us through Christ. And notice in verse 19 what that means. This message of reconciliation is this. In Christ, God was reconciling the world to himself, not counting their trespasses against them, and entrusting to us the message of reconciliation. through the work of Christ on the cross, he pays for sins. So God's reconciling the world to himself, and he's on a mission of reconciling this world. You can see that in verse number 20, this world without distinction, meaning men, women, children. He's doing this, and how's he doing this? Verse 19, not counting their trespasses against them. Which implies, of course, that they've trespassed, right? That they need forgiveness, that they have sinned. And so we proclaim that, Romans 3:23, all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God, but God through Christ is reconciling you and I to himself. If you put your faith and trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. What he did on the cross, dying in the place of sinners. So verse 21, for his our sake he made him, Christ, to be sin, who knew no sin, so that in him, Christ, we might become the righteousness of God. So that Christ becomes sin, so that in him we might become the righteousness of God. That is the message we proclaim. That's our job. That's our job. I mean, we're ambassadors. That's who you are, right? Yes, okay. You get the point? So this is not your home. And you have a message, and the message is the one that's been given to you by the King, and that is the message of reconciliation. Isn't that amazing? Like, God uses you and I to reconcile, making an appeal through us. That's what's going on when you share the gospel. You just get... Somebody, I mean, we get worried. Am I going to say everything right? No, you're not. Okay, that's why God's giving you the Holy Spirit. But God, through you and through the word you share, reconciles people to himself. Isn't that what a great responsibility that is, huh? I think it is. That's the heart of our message, that we can be right with God, verse 21, through the work of Christ. That's a message we bear as ambassadors. That's our job in this foreign land. Remember who we are. This is not our home. It's not. We'll teach you. It's not our home, right? We represent our home. So how you live matters as an ambassador. And I think we'll provide opportunities for the third point to bear the message of the King. This is why we're still here. This is why the Lord hasn't taken us home yet. You might wonder, sometimes I'm like, Lord, I don't understand it. I want to go home. But while you're here, you're ambassadors. You're living in a foreign land, delivering a message of our King to represent that foreign land. And maybe, just maybe, if we started to remember who we were, the stats might shift a bit and would start delivering the message and would see God do some amazing things. Let's have a word of prayer. Father, we thank you for today. Thank you for the reminder I needed. I know it's something that in my own heart I needed contemplate and need to be reminded of, Lord, as it feels comfortable here. May we be a church that reminds ourselves we're ambassadors representing the great King, Lord Jesus Christ, delivering his message of forgiveness of sins this week and the weeks to come. It's Christ's name we pray. Amen. Remind you.